ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Son of Jonah Punished. Text number 10. Translation. Interpreted by His Divine Grace, Isa Bhaktivedanta Swami Srimad. All different varieties of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in Atma or Spirit Self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unaligned devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. Shri Chaitanya Manavisam Shapitam Lena Bhutale Rayam Upakara Mayadati Swaparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuni Chananda Shri Adaita Gadadha Shiva Suri Guru Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, let's read the verse once more. All different varieties of Atmaramas, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So, we can't see the Lord, this is the problem. but we can hear Him, we can hear from Him, we can hear about Him. Therefore, we stress the hearing more than seeing. Prabhupada used to give us the example of the man is sleeping. He can't see, but he can still hear. So hearing is the most important sense for making spiritual advancement. just like Narada Muni. He heard the Lord. The Lord spoke to him in his previous life, we were just reading. And therefore, he took that instruction. So similarly, the Lord is coming. He's speaking Bhagavad Gita. And it's coming down in disciplined succession. So we're hearing. We're hearing the Lord. And what do we hear? That He has a transcendental body and we should render service to Him. Therefore, by accepting the hearing and implementing it, Prabhupada used to criticize, not that it goes in one ear and out the other, but we take it and bring it into our life, especially this hearing of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then we'll see that there'll be a change in our consciousness. therefore, we should stress on this, molding our life in such a way that we can hear in a good consciousness, in the best quality time to hear this mantra. And then we'll find that everything becomes regulated. All our problems become, you can say, mitigated or lessened. We're able to see the real priority. This is the problem. And 16th chapter describes that the demons don't know what to do, what not to do. But the devotees don't have that problem because the Lord is guiding them from within. And so they become rightly situated and happy, peaceful, because they're going progressively forward. And so they feel some satisfaction from within. So the whole key then is to hear this mantra especially, very nicely, and then we'll become Krishna conscious. And those who don't are having problems, just like we're hearing some devotees, having problems because they're not taking this process properly. If we're taking the process properly, then we won't have any problem. You know, we may see the problem of others, just like Prahlad says, oh, he sees his problem is that others are suffering. That we may see. But then we'll be in a position to try to help them. because in one sense, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, there's no need for reform because Krishna is in everyone's heart. So as soon as one is sincere, then he'll help them get reformed. We simply have to repeat the message of Krishna, and that will bring about the desired reform for those who are sincere. Prabhupada used to sometimes say, one of his questions was, about schism, those who may leave the movement. And he said, no, there won't be schism. There will just be those who are sincere and those who are not sincere. So that's the only qualification, is that we have to be sincere to hear the message, to hear the holy name, and then to apply it in our life. There won't be any, we'll be making progress. And as we make progress, then we can bring others up also. Just like we give the example, when the tide it rises, when the water comes up, called the tide, then all the ships in the harbor, they all go up. So in the same way, one who is actually becoming Krishna conscious, then everyone will benefit from his association. Everyone will also progress. And then those who are able to help others, they'll be more enlivened. And then they'll become more Krishna conscious, and then they'll become more enlivened. In this way, the future becomes very bright for such persons. Nothing can check. But it starts with this point of chanting the holy name very carefully, regularly, every morning, without fail, to make this as our main, sadhana, our main practice, most important thing. There's so many things we may have to do to maintain our body and soul. We have business, we have to preach and so many things. But the first business is to hear this mantra very nicely, regularly, then we won't have problems. Because we'll be making progress. As we make progress, then we'll feel happy. Then we'll be able to help others. If we're not happy, how can we help others? If we're morose, if we're discouraged, if we're despondent, if we're confused, then what can we do to help others? Therefore, Prabhupada would stress on this nice chanting. Then everything, we can be able to see everything properly. Even there may be some, problems, just like there's some problems in our ISKCON society. But we'll be able to also see from the absolute point of view that there's no problems. There's really no problem, in a sense that Prabhupada has given us a system, and those who are sincere, they're taking that system and they're making advancement. So Prabhupada's movement is a success. Even if one sincere person is taking it. But we see many sincere people are taking it. So why is Prabhupada's movement in such a bad state? Just like Prabhupada was saying. Therefore Prabhupada's movement is in such a bad state. But I don't see it in such a bad state. I think it's going in the way it's to be expected. What is that? It's to be expected that those who are not sincere will leave. And because many of them have left, so we think, oh, something's wrong with Prabhupada's movement. No, there's nothing wrong with Prabhupada's movement. For those who are sincere, taking it nicely, then they're getting the result. What is that result? They're making spiritual advancement. Even somebody like Mahanidhi Swami, who's not so much directly involved with the institution, but we can see he's making progress, very nice progress, and he's helping others in the institution also to make progress, and he has some connection. And my point is, it's not just that that everybody has to work in a mechanical way, like we are running an army. That example is given. We're running an army, and everybody has their duty, but it's not exactly and then we'll be successful when we defeat the enemy and so on. But this is not a perfect analogy because there are some unconventional aspects. In the army, everyone is expected to act in a certain way. But sometimes, even in the army, you see the most brilliant generals are those who will do unconventional things. In the Civil War, there was one famous general, I forget his name, I think McClellan or something, who the others were complaining that he was crazy. He was a general, but the other generals were saying that he's crazy. And Lincoln was the president, and he said, I wish that all my generals would become crazy like that, because he was getting some success. So that's my point. Prabhupada was careful not to that. He wanted us to be regulated, that's true. He did emphasize the process that we should do everything, chanting 16 rounds regularly, maybe reading chapter Bhagavad Gita regularly. Those things he would appreciate. He would try to encourage us to be regulated. But sometimes somebody would do something spontaneously, which wasn't, you can say, programmed, And that would be very pleasing to Prabhupada. Just like Hanuman, the same example is there. He was given a message. He was given a duty. So duty was there. He had to give the message to Sita. But then when he was there, he gave his message, he did his duty, then he did something else. What is that? Nobody told him that he should burn down Lanka, but he did it. Because he knew that would be pleasing to him. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he was given a duty to preach in the Western world by his spiritual master. So he did that nicely, established the centers of it. But then he did what he wanted to do. He was preaching in India and so on. So my point is that, both things are there. And how to judge success, it's not so easy. From the institutional point of view, it may look like this, the movement is not so successful. But if there's one pure devotee somewhere, in a temple in Minsk or somewhere, then the movement is a success. Bhakti said others, if I can create one pure devotee, then I consider my mission as a success. So otherwise you can sell all the marble from all these temples. This is more important, to create one pure devotee. So it's not so easy for us just to judge. That's our tendency is to judge, because this is how we're trained up, to judge everything, just by the result, what appears to be the result. But that appearance may be deceptive, because the real result is if Prabhupada is pleased, if Krishna is pleased. If Prabhupada is pleased with somebody, then that the success is there, whether they do something big or whatever. If they're able to remember Krishna at the time of death, then that's their success. So, it's a balance. We do judge by result. At the same time, we don't judge by result. Chinta beta beta tattva. It's one and different. The result, though, ultimately, it is Krishna is pleased, if Srila Prabhupada is pleased. So that, we may not know, but how can we know the mind of the spiritual master so easily? Therefore, I made the point that even someone may not be successful, but if they're sincerely trying to please the spiritual master, then they're successful. So that has to be the criteria. What is their intention? If they're sincerely trying to please the spiritual master, then that's a success there. Okay?
Should we go through this book right now?
Yes, Maharaj, I have one question. Mm-hmm. Because from a point of view of organization, our organization, but for spreading or for managing, it's very difficult to. It's natural that we should, make some judgments and see how it's going on. So how to make balance? Because someone can have good motivation, but he can disturb, our project because he's doing something wrong. So, in the temple, someone is some particular.
Well, therefore, we have to have a president, have a commander, a GBC. So then they have to speak to that person. We know your intention is good, but Prabhu, you're causing disturbance here, and then you're not sure. That's such a big thing. I mean, it's not that there's nobody allowed to just act whimsically in our institution.
Well, my point is that this is true, that the most important is intention. But still, we should make some judgments and see.
Yeah, but the guru has to make that judgment, or Krishna ultimately, because Krishna is the original guru. Now we may, with our intelligence, we may make some judgment. We think that this person is not pleasing Krishna, so we may want to keep some distance from that person because this is our assertion. But we may be wrong. Therefore, we should respect everybody who's a Vaishnava. We may have one of respect for some distance, but we don't, condemn them or something, or curse them. Yeah, we have to use our intelligence, so therefore we associate with those who we think are properly motivated, and we can be inspired by their association, and others we may not think are, but then we have to keep ourselves open. We may, we may be wrong. In other words, someone may be sincerely trying to please Krishna, and we thought they weren't. I remember I was judged like that by some of my godbrothers. They thought I was ill-motivated in something, but then later they found I wasn't. And so they were able to again be friendly with me. But for some time they were keeping distance from me because they thought I was politically motivated or something. No, that's not, I didn't curse them because of that. No, that's their, if that's their, you know, analysis of the situation, then let them think like that. What can I do? My only business is how did that Prabhupada is pleased. So that should be the consideration. It's a, you know, it's going up. That's why guru is so important. Because otherwise, how do we know? We just rely on our intelligence. It won't be enough. And to understand what's going on in this world. That's why, like you were saying, my son is confused. Well, anybody will be confused. An intelligent person will be confused. That's not a bad sign that he's confused. The bad sign that he's not coming to his guru and getting relief from that confusion. That's the bad sign. But being confused, that's not a bad sign. Arjuna was confused also.